And there's Christmas comedy as a 1954 episode of Hancock's Half Hour is recreated. But first, a look ahead to Boxing Day, where it couldn't be anything else, could it?
Radio 4 unveils the history of a festive institution.
These traditions, they're pushed into us at birth. I've got a six-month-old niece, and I'm sure the first thing she's going to say is, it's behind you.
I'm Christopher Frayling, and I'll be unwrapping the archives to understand our relationship with pantomime.
There was an act in 1737 to basically censor the British theatre, but you could get round it by singing and dancing.
It's behind you. The weird and wonderful story of British pantomime.
You've had a long career in it. I gather you started at the bottom, as it were, at the back end of the...
On Boxing Day evening at 8 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now, of the 103 episodes of the classic sitcom, Hancock's Half Hour, recorded for radio, nearly two dozen were missing or lost. So we recreated these missing episodes from the original scripts. Now there's another chance to hear Department Store Santa when the lad himself is feeling festive.
This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Kenneth Williams, Bill Kerr and Sydney James in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
The task of being a comedy star is a hard one. He never has a moment of leisure to himself, even first thing in the morning. At the breakfast table, he is already at work going through his mail.
Morning, Tony.
Hello, Moira. Sit down, I won't be a minute. I'm just finishing off my letters. Listen, how does this one sound? Dear sir, it is my considered opinion that you are the most despicable scoundrel I have ever had the misfortune to meet. You have lied to me, cheated me, ridiculed me, and insulted me. You have taken advantage of my friendship and abused my hospitality. It is difficult to imagine how such a rogue, cheat and twister as yourself has managed to keep out of prison. If ever I meet you again, I shall take great pleasure in giving you the thrashing you so richly deserve. Yours sincerely.
It's quite a letter. Who are you sending that to?
No one. I received it in the post this morning.
Here's one you haven't opened, from the Ministry of Labour.
No, I never open their stuff till after breakfast. It puts me off my food.
I'll open it for you. Now, let's see. A. Hancock, Esquire, dear sir or madam, on checking our files, we find that for the last 10 years you have been drawing 26 shillings a week unemployment benefit, even though you are perfectly fit to work.
Nonsense! I wrote and told him about me turns.
This practice is proving so expensive that we have considered offering you a cash settlement if you promise not to bother us anymore.
All depends on how much they're offering.
However, the minister, Sir Walter Monckton, has forbidden this. As he said over the telephone, I have to bash me brains out, so why should that lazy perisher get away with it? He has therefore instructed me to inform you that if you do not resume employment immediately, he will be obliged to prosecute you.
Oh.
There's some more. We notice you have listed two occupations at which you are skilled. Beer tasting... and shop window mattress demonstrator.
Of course, my ambition is to do both jobs at once.
We do not appear to have anything on those lines on our books, but if you will report at your nearest labour exchange, they will no doubt find you suitable alternative employment.
So it's come to this. I've got to go to work. It's not fair. It's a crime that I should have to work. I have such pretty hands.
Don't worry, Tony. It'll only be for a day or two. You're bound to get the sack.
It's not that. This is only the beginning. They're on to me. Work. I'll never get over the shock. Think of the disgrace. They'll make me hand in me old layabout's club tie. Me, the oldest member. The tragedy of it. One more year out of work and I would have got me gold medal.
There, Tony. Work's not as bad as all that. You'll get used to it.
I don't want to. Suppose it's habit forming.
Well, there's no way out of it. You'll have to go down to the Labour Exchange and see what they've got to offer you.
You're a callous woman, Moira Lister. Excuse me, which queue do I get in for jobs?
I don't know. I'm a stranger here myself.
Tom! Bill! What are you doing here? They caught up with you as well?
Yeah, they've been having a clear out. There's half of our club here.
But you, Bill, the president, gold medal and bar. 15 years and not a stroke.
Yeah, I nearly had one when I got the letter. I tried to call an emergency committee meeting at Broughton House to discuss what action we could take, but none of the boys were there. They're all being forced to start work. They're all here. Harry, Charlie, Bert, Fred, Percy.
Not Percy.
Yeah, Percy.
I am surprised. Old Percy Higgins. I wouldn't have believed it.
Well, there it is.
Percy Higgins. He's been out of work so long, he's forgotten what he's out of work of.
There's no doubt about it, Tom. This is a black day for our cause.
Do you realise what this means? Every principle we stand for is in danger. The freedom of the individual to decide for himself where and when he's going to lay down his head without the horrible threat of a job looming over him on his awakening. The right of every man to be unemployed regardless of race, creed or colour. To work or not to work, that is the question. This happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in a silver sea is now bound in with shame. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. Worked his head to the bone. And for what? We are being deprived of the basic privilege of every self-respecting layabout. There's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of work blows in our ears, it gets dead dodgy. What has happened to the heritage of our freedom-loving Ireland? To our birthright handed down through countless generations? Shirkers of the world, unite! Arise, there are too many jobs. There is not enough unemployment to go around. Let it be known here and now that I, for one, refuse to go to work.
Next.
Hancock.
Let's see.
No, 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 no.
Then how do you spell it?
H-A-N-C-O-C-K. The H is pronounced Hassin Happel.
Let's see now. Yes, I've got a dossier if we were somewhere. Ah, yes. According to this, you haven't done a day's work since June the 6th, 1944, when you were discharged from the RAC as unfit for service.
Yes, jaundice.
It says here cowardice.
Well, I got the colour right.
You haven't worked for 10 years. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Listen, if it wasn't for blokes like me, you wouldn't have a job.
Yeah, we won't go into that. Now, let me have a few details. Age?
30. Steady.
You look older than that.
I didn't till this morning.
Have you any references from former employers?
No, I've never stayed long enough for them to form an opinion.
What sort of job do you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know. Plenty of money, not much work. 9 months a year holiday with pay. Big expense allowance. Do you think that could be done?
Yes, if you can get enough people to vote for you. Now, let's see what I've got on my list.
Look, have you got one job me and me partner can do between us?
Your partner?
Mr. Kerr.
That's me.
One job between you?
Yeah, well, you see, we're out of training.
You are, of course, an Australian.
Yeah. How can you tell?
No Englishman would walk around with a test match score pinned to his lapel. Whereabouts in Australia were you born?
In the bush.
No, oh, come. You're a grown man. You don't still believe that twaddle, do you? Did you have a job in Australia?
I'm ashamed to admit it, but I did. I was a commercial traveller.
Selling what?
Zip fasteners to kangaroos. And I got a job as night watchman at the YWCA.
Have you got any references?
No, but I got plenty of scars.
Well, now, let's see what jobs I have. Digging holes in roads?
Nah.
I'll mind them for you.
I have a few vacancies for dockers.
Nope.
Well, why not? They might go on strike again.
Nope, too chancy.
Ah, here's something. 2 men required by large West End department store for Christmas period.
Now.
Yes.
Yes?
Of course. Use your loaf for the Christmas period. Fortnight's time, we'll be out of work again. Perfect.
Yeah. All right, we'll take it.
Good. Now, if you'll both be so good as to put your signatures at the bottom here.
Now mine. There.
Let's see. Yes, well, thank you for those 2 marks of affection. Now, for a report to the manager of the store, I'm sure he'll be able to find you a comfortable position.
As long as it's sitting down with me feet up, I don't mind. Come, William, brace yourself to work.
Ah, quite a big place, isn't it? I wonder where we find a manager.
Ask one of the girls behind the counter.
Yeah, hey, Dish.
Yes?
Now, where can I find the manager?
Search me.
Well, later. Right now, I want to find the manager.
I Aren't you two boys going to work here?
Only if we're watched.
Oh, that's good. We could do with some more men here. There's not enough to go round. You get some nice-looking customers in sometimes, but then, as I always say, there's not much you can do with the counter between you, is there?
Yeah, but there must be a way round it. Oh, a way round it to the counter. Wait, where's the manager?
I'll be seeing a lot more of you if you're going to work here. And don't forget, Lily's the name. I'm in handbags.
Oh, Billy's the name. I'm incorrigible.
All right, come on, Fido. Let's find out where the manager is.
She's cute, isn't she, Tab? I think we'll be all right here.
You leave the girls alone. You're always the same. We no sooner get a job and you're trying your hand at a bit of overtime. Now then, the manager. Let's ask someone else. Excuse me, my good man.
Yes, sir.
We want to see the manager.
Certainly, sir. Come this way, please. In here, sir.
Well, I don't think much of this for a manager's office to start with. It's not a very good advert for a large West End store, is it? I'm very brought down. You'd think you'd have a bigger room than this.
This is the lift.
Oh, dear me.
Going up?
That's funny. It's not moving.
I'm not surprised. This lift is constructed to take six people.
Well, there's only three of us in here.
Yes, you'll have to get out, sir.
Then how do I get up there?
You've got feet, haven't you?
Yes.
Place one of them 4 feet in front of the other, then placing pressure on the ball of the front foot, you take the rear one off the ground and bring it forward in a dragging movement until it can go no further, whereupon you place it on the ground, by which time you should find yourself moving. Repeat this process several times until you arrive at your destination, and good luck.
God dear, 8th floor. I don't know what got me suit up these stairs. It certainly wasn't me body.
Yeah, well, all we've got to do now is find his office. It's along here somewhere.
Let's see. Supervisor, accounts. Ah, here we are, manager. Smarten ourselves up.
Is me tie on straight?
You're not wearing one.
Oh, no? What do you think's holding my trousers up?
A tie is supposed to go around your neck.
I know, but it looks silly when you haven't got a collar.
Where is the collar?
You've got it on.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. Of course, we changed round. You'll wear the shirt next week.
Yeah, well, come on. Let's go in.
Come in.
Ah, good morning, sir. Sydney James.
Hello, boys.
You come for a job as well? Ha! You won't get one with a criminal record like yours. You're a cheat, crook, swindler, confidence man, and what is more, I shall tell the manager personally as soon as I see him.
Well, start talking. I am the manager.
Oh, well, back to the labour exchange.
Wait a minute. How did you manage to get a job like this, Sid?
Simple. They said they wanted someone reliable, trustworthy, upright and honest.
So?
So I forged some credentials and got the job. Mind you, I was lucky. I would never have got the post if the other manager hadn't left.
Where did he go?
I took him swimming, but he couldn't get his feet out of the cement in time. Now then, what are you two boys doing here?
Yeah, we were forced here by the labour exchange. They said you needed extra staff for the Christmas rush.
That's right, I'm desperate for staff.
Well, here we are.
Not that desperate.
What's wrong with us?
Oh, do me a favour. I know you two, dead lazy.
I beg your pardon.
I've seen you. You used to pay people to go down and collect your unemployment money.
Look, Sid, we've got to get a job or they're going to prosecute us. Just give us a trial.
Because if you don't, they will.
All right, then. What can you do?
Nothing very heavy, I'm afraid. I can't lift anything.
Look, Sid, you've got a big staff here, all girls. You've got to keep them happy and contented.
Well?
Well, so what about making me their recreation officer?
What equipment do you need?
A couch, soft music and a bottle of stout.
Well, I'm afraid I haven't got anything like that, Billy. As it's Christmas, the best I can offer you is head counter walker.
You mean floor walker?
When the rush starts, there won't be any room on the floor.
What about wages?
Ah, yes, wages. You'd laugh your head off if I give you £12 a week, wouldn't you?
Ah, sure would.
Well, you're getting 50 bob a week and half a dozen handkerchiefs.
What about me?
Oh, no, sorry. I've got nothing for you.
But you must have. Let me be a salesman, that's it. You won't be sorry. I can sell anything. I could sell horror comics to the Archbishop of Canterbury.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't got anything.
But surely you can fit me in somewhere.
Only if we move half the store out. Now run away, I'm a very busy man. Come in!
Mr. James!
What is it, Lily?
Oh, Mr. James, something terrible's happened. It was awful. He was rolling about on the floor and the nurses, doctors and ambulances, they had stretchers. They took him away. It was terrible. Oh, I think I'm going to faint.
Quick, get to somebody.
I'll do it.
No, let Billy do it. I feel awful. Oh, my head. Where am I? Do something. I'm going.
Here, a glass of water.
Only got any scotch?
No, we haven't.
Oh, well, don't bother. I'm all right now.
Look, Lily, what was horrible? Who was rolling about on the floor?
Mr. Fringepipe. You know, our Father Christmas. He's been taken ill.
What happened to him?
He ate one of them sweets that he gives to the children.
Oh, now what we're going to do? We've got to have a Father Christmas.
Well, I won't waste any more of your time. I'll just
hey,
go...
Hey, where are you going, Santa?
Hey?
You were. Get downstairs and get that beard on.
Oh, no, not this lad. No, thank you. I hate kids. My mother was frightened by one.
Who?
Me.
There's nothing to it, Hancock. Easiest job in the store. The kids are all right. Sweet, lovable little things. Butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. And they love old Santa. Remember that. They love him. By the way, you'd better take this.
What is it?
A club.
Ho, 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 ho. Come and visit old Santa. Season's greetings. Get your lovely Christmas presents here. Have a go at me sack, tan out a dip. Jolly days, jingle bells, winter's here, lots of cheer. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the floor. Roll on half past five. Hello, here comes another rocket ship full of the little perishers. Ah. Ho, 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 ho. Get off. Scat. Shoot. Go home. Get out of it. Hop it. Take that. Get your thieving hands out of me sack. Ah. Who's pulled me eyebrows off? Get down, you. I'll give you a clip round the ear hole. Put that train set down. What do you expect for a tanner? Yeah. All right, that's it, all off. All right, come on, own up. Who was the little clever dick who set light to me beard? That ugly, pimply little Herbert with the matches. Come here and I'll... What was that, madam? Yours? Oh, what a nice little chap he is, to be sure. Let me pat him on the head. Where's me sledge?
Hey, Tom, how you getting on?
Oh, don't talk to me. I've had the children of Britain swarming around me today. Heaven help any country that attacks us when this little lot grows up.
Now, Tom, remember, you've got to be nice to them.
Nice? How can you be nice to kids who stuff holly down your trousers? Blimey, no wonder Santa got stuck up the chimney. He knew where he was well off. How are you getting on, Bill?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I just love being a shop walker. I've had to report 424 complaints from the shop girls.
What about?
Me. Oh, by the way, I've brought some more presents up for your lucky dip.
Oh, good. Tip him in me brand tub. Mind the mouse traps I put in.
Yeah. Look out. Here come some more customers for you.
Quick, where's me tin helmet and me shin guards?
Come along, kiddie. Step up and visit old Nick.
Saint Nick.
Go on, children, line up and sit on Father Christmas's knee and tell him what you want for Christmas. You first, little boy. You with your head poking over the top of your gumboots. Now whisper in Father Christmas's ear what you want.
Certainly not, you horrible little monster. If I had Ava Gardner in me sack, do you think I'd be sitting here with you lot? Up it. Come along now, kiddies. Give old Santa your sixpence and have a dip down his bran tub. What have you got, sonny? A plastic comb? Oh, bad luck. Give us your lolly. Who's next for the storehouse of treasure?
Well, I'll leave you to it, Tupper. I think I'll go and give the girls more grounds for complaint. See ya.
Come along now, children. Let's have you. Give us your money. Grab hold of your present and buzz off. Who's next?
I say, Meta, who's that fat, stupid-looking elf from the Red Pixie Wood?
Be quiet, Ernie. That's Father Christmas. Don't you want him to give you a present?
No, Meta, please. I'm 4 and a half now. I stopped believing in that tommy rot ages ago.
You go and get your present before I take my handbag across your face.
Oh, Mater, you're so old-fashioned. You know modern psychologists deplore that sort of behaviour towards children.
Oh, honestly, Ernie, I don't know what you're going to be like when you start school. I'm sure I don't. Now go and tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas.
Oh, very well. You and Peter are financing the deal. Like, I should worry. But I don't know how you both manage on a dustman's money, I'm sure. Good afternoon.
Ho, ho, ho. Good afternoon, my little man. And what would you like happy, laughing old Santa to give you?
Oh, come, my dear chap. I think we can dispense with the play acting.
Hello, what have we got here?
Let's get down to the fundamentals. What have you got in that dirty old sack that could possibly interest me?
How old are you?
4 and a half. What do you have in the literary line?
Well, we've got farmyard cutouts, paint-it-yourself nursery lines, Tiny Tots Annual.
Nothing by Bertrand Russell.
Oh, is he doing the cutouts these days?
My dear fellow, Bertrand Russell.
Oh, him! That Bertrand Russell. Oh, my word, no, nothing by him. We're right out of Westerns.
I'm very sorry about this, Santa. Ernie's very advanced for his age, you know. He's starting school next year when he's 5.
Oh, where?
Oxford University.
He's a bit young to start learning there, isn't he?
Oh, he ain't learning, he's teaching. Now, come on, Ernie, you must have something off Father Christmas.
Yes, how about the junior kiddie's own suicide set?
You sell those?
No, but it won't take me long to whip one up.
No, Mater, take me away from here. The man's a complete moron.
Don't be so rude, Ernie. I've come here to buy you something, and buy you something I'm going to. Have a train set or a spacesuit or something. You don't want it, your father can play with.
That's quite a good idea. Then I could study him and complete my thesis on post-childhood behaviour in the human adult.
Look, I'll tell you what. How about having a nice pair of roller skates?
As you wish. Now, how do you put them on?
Quite simple. I used to be a dab hand at this lark. Let me put them on and show you. You place your foot in there, like this, and strap them round here. Then you put the other one on like that. There. Now, you'll notice I have left enough play in the straps to allow me to stand up quite comfortably and allow me to...
Let's see now, I'm going to get £2,342 worth of damage, Hancock. Not a very good record for someone who's only been with us for half an hour, is it?
It wasn't my fault,
I was... Quiet! I've worked it all out. And if my figures are correct, by the time you've finished paying for the damage, that long white beard you've got on will be a real one.
I'll give him a break, sir. He couldn't help it.
Give him a break? Give him a break? Have you seen the state the store's in? Look at the gramophone department. For the first time since we opened, we've broken all records.
Well, he glued them together again, didn't he?
Yeah, and a right mess he made of that. Listen to this for a mended record.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye,
love.
They begin.
Well, that's the quickest family favourites I've ever heard.
And look at the crockery department. Every cup, saucer, and plate is either smashed, chipped, or cracked. To cut me losses, I've had to sell the lot to British Railways.
Keep on, it wasn't his fault.
You can keep quiet and all. I'm not satisfied with you either. Why don't you keep your eyes open when you're walking around? There's been an outbreak of shoplifting.
Well, you can't expect me to notice everything. You'll always get a little shoplifting.
A little shoplifting? This 14 grand piano's gone.
That explains it.
What?
I wondered why that old girl wanted 600 yards of brown paper.
This shoplifting's got to stop. Keep your eyes peeled in future. Now go on, back to your post, and don't let me have any more trouble, or you're both fired.
Can we have that in writing?
Ah, so there it is, Lily. He more or less said if there's any more shoplifting, I'm out of a job.
Oh, Billy, no. I couldn't bear it if you had to leave. Life wouldn't be the same without our early morning slap and tickle behind the suitcases.
Yeah. Ah, don't worry, Lily. All I've got to do is catch these shoplifters. I'll show them.
Aren't you frightened of them?
Frightened? Ha! Wait till I catch them. I'll jump on them, throw them over my shoulder, grab them by the scruff of the neck, frog march them to the nearest door and toss them out into the street.
Yes, but supposing it's a man?
In that case, you'll have to help. Look, we'll have to get Tony in on this. Maybe he's got some ideas. Where is he?
Leaning out the window, talking to that street corner Father Christmas.
Of course, this isn't the first time I've dressed up as Father Christmas, you know. You can tell by the way me beard hangs, can't you? Sort of off the shoulder. Now, I played Father Christmas last year at the infant school down the road.
Yeah, my kid goes there.
Yes, of course he does. I remember. Dead spit of you. Got a beard just like yours. So anyway, they decided it would be a good idea for me to come down the chimney. Well, I wasn't standing for that. I mean, a bloke my size. A joke's a joke, but that's going a bit too far. I mean, I like to be helpful, but there's a limit. I'm not a difficult person, I hope. So I told the headmaster, no, I said. You're not getting me to come down that chimney. I'm all for Christmas, I said. I know the kids enjoy it, but I'm sorry. No chimney, not for this lad. Of course, he was after a bucksheer sweep out, you know.
Oh, I thought that was it.
You know his type. You've met him.
I know him.
Well, of course you do. Your kid goes there. Little fellow with a beard. So anyway, as I was saying, I put me foot down. I point blank refused to come down the chimney. Very well, he said, you don't get paid. Well, I was out on the roof and squeezing me way down when he says to the kids, quiet now, children. Father Christmas is coming down the chimney. Well, you should have seen those little kids' faces. They fair lit up. Their little eyes shined with delight. They clapped their chubby little hands with glee. And then the head boy stepped up to the fireplace. Couldn't have been more than about six. And he looked up the chimney. His sweet little face was a picture. And he says, are you up there, Santa? And I says, yes, little man, I am. And with a lovely smile of delight, he bent down, and do you know what he did?
What?
He lit the fire.
Hey, Tom, look, we got to catch this shoplifter, and then instead of giving us the sack, Sid might give us a rise or promotion. Have you got any ideas?
Yes, I've been thinking about it. Listen, this is what we'll do. We'll outsmart him. Tonight, after the store closes, we'll lay a trap. We'll put a piece of imitation jewellery on the floor just inside the main door, which we leave open.
Of course, inviting him to come in.
Exactly. Now, attached to the ring is a bit of string with us on the other end. When he bends down to pick up the ring, we pull it slowly towards us. Then when he gets right up close to us, wallop.
What?
He hits us. But there's enough of us here to overpower him, all right?
Right.
Then we run and get the police. Have him put inside, then Mr. James will be very pleased with us. End of plot. Right, roll on tonight. Grab him! Hook gun! Other one! Hold him down! Hold him down, that's it! Ha ha, yes! He cut you now! Well, I'm sorry, Mr. James. Our little plan didn't work. He got away. Still, we gave him a right bashing. He won't come back in a hurry.
No, he won't need to.
What do you mean?
While you were beating the living daylights out of the night watchman, the thief pitched another 15 pianos!
Well, there you are, Mr. Johnson. You start work on Monday morning, and I hope you like the job we managed to get for you. Next!
Hancock. H-O-N. C-O-C-K.
This has been Hancock's Half Hour, featuring Kevin McNally as the lad himself, with Kevin Eldon, Robin Sebastian, Simon Greenall, and Margaret Caban-Smith. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levon Parikian. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the programme, which was recorded, was produced by Neil Pearson and Paul Sheehan. It was a BBC Studios production.
And the lad is back at the same time next week. Kirsty demands some answers in the Archers.